I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Harmon Houghton and Marcia Keegan. They are co-founders of Clearlight Publishing, and Harmon has a new book called Red or Green Chili Bible, Love at First Bite. It's a book about chilies and New Mexico recipes, and he will be speaking and signing books at the Blessings Gallery in DeVargas Mall. And Marcia, who is a distinguished photographer, will be showing her work there. Welcome both of you to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Charlotte.
So let's talk for a moment about the Chili Bible. You describe it as your love affair with chili. How did that start? Did that start in New Mexico?
Oh, pretty much. I've been cooking for close to 30 years, having had a little bit of restaurant experience very early on, and having had the privilege to work with two incredible chefs. One was Tony Trinkus, who had an old manor type of restaurant in upstate New York and was one of the original cooks in the Waldorf kitchen before it moved to its current location, was still on 34th Street. And he learned cooking really from the technique on up to really look in how to blend tastes, textures, temperature. And he kind of, for whatever reason, took a liking to me. And even though I was working with him to reorganize his restaurant to transition into the next generation of Trinkus family, we spent a lot of time together in the evenings learning how to cut meat, prepare stews, prepare soups, and he used a steam kettle technique that is rarely used today of exposing the ingredients to just temperature, without water, without steam, the like. You just had the real flavors coming through, and it was a delicate process of really infusing flavor into the ingredients themselves. But also the care that he took in selecting ingredients, and he did all of his own original recipes. And they became an institution near Utica, New York, to kind of create a community center. So he's the one that really brought eating, at least into my awareness, as a community involvement. It's something that you have to do every single day. I always tell people that it's all about lunch. People work, it's all about lunch. And then many years later, jumping forward, he kind of created the bug for and the love for cooking and ingredients and preparation. Jumping forward many years, both Marcia and I had a real privilege to get involved with the Tibetan community. And we met a cook from the Dalai Lama's kitchen in the Potala that ended up in Chinatown on Henry Street, which was an infamous building for the Tibetans. And myself and one other Tibetan, Sherpa Rinpoche, used to go up on Saturdays and buy him ingredients, and he would teach us how to cook. And Losang really brought the taste into a whole sensual, sensory experience of hot, sweet, salty, pungent, bitter, into covering the tongue and all of its cells into a sensory experience, which is where eating is all about, to really bring about the balance of flavor where it actually becomes a sensory experience rather than just a flavor thing. And then he added crunchy and soft and smooth and liquid and hard, chewy, non-chewy, and the whole experience of the Tibetans take everything into the nth degree of the experience itself. So we would go up there, bring the ingredients from the street, and he would start cutting and chopping in the all sorts of different directions. And the prep, again, was part of the real experience of cooking. You don't just throw things into a pot. The heat and the transfer of heat to transmute the ingredient into a delectable dish, so to speak. And he kind of got me into blending flavors, blending tastes, blending temperatures into the real technique. And I just kind of took off with that and started cooking for the whole Tibetan community. We eventually started a little catering business for him that really took off. And I've been cooking ever since. Moving to New Mexico, of course, the most preeminent flavor is the chili. And the use of chilies is very much a big part of the Tibetan kitchen. But they use it as a condiment, as a side dish, rather than something that's going to scald the top of your tongue. And you use it, every person has a different tolerance for the Scoville units in chili and chili's heat.
Now, what does that mean, the Scoville units?
It's a method of identifying how hot the chili is.
And that can range from 500 to over a million.
Correct. There's some ghost peppers that are being grown in the state now by Dave DeWitt, who's the Pope of chilies, that'll go over a million. And you want to use that very judiciously, unless you're from Texas. And there it becomes a macho thing of how much heat you can tolerate.
What makes a chili hot?
It is in the veins of the chili itself and stimulates the endorphins in your mind to stimulate the mind. It's an addiction, ultimately.
Yeah.
And different varieties of chilies dictate the heat. And bell peppers are a variety of a chili. It's a flower. And that can have zero Scoville units. It just has a taste element to
it. Right. And as you write in the book, chilies are botanically a fruit, even though we think of them as vegetables.
Correct.
Now, what's the difference between a red and green chili?
It's how the fruit ripens on the vine. And a lot of times the confusing part is that the same chili will change its name. Like a poblano chili will become an ancho chili when it's dried. A jalapeno will become chipotle when it's dried. It's the same chili.
It's the same chili.
But it's dried in a dried form. And the red chili is used more as a powder and a paste. The green chili is used more as a vegetable and an ingredient within the food itself. Both of them release the heat units.
Now, how did you put together all these recipes?
Well, started by eating at the chili restaurants that abound in New Mexico. And just slowly started taking some of the traditional recipes, the Spanish and the Indian, or going to different homes and eating the chili there, being invited. And the Spanish cook it a little bit different than the Native Americans from the chili and have created their own cuisine, so to speak, with it, with the Spanish creating more of paste, which is much, much thicker, and the Native American being a lot more runnier, a lot more liquid in itself.
And so these are all recipes that you have developed and tested in your own kitchen over many years.
Correct, yeah, because all of the cooks keep their chili recipes secret.
Is that right?
The family secret that you don't let out.
And yet. You've let it out.
Well, I could taste. You see, that's part of Tanawang's thing. You can taste the ingredients that give it the sweetness, that give it the bitterness, that give it the aromatic level. So eventually, one of the most prevalent ingredients in chili is the adobo powder that you use, which is like a condiment. And I started developing my own adobo recipe that you'll see throughout the book, which is a oregano, garlic, cumin, and coriander in a powder. And it gives a very nutty, very herbal type of taste, depending on how herbal or sweet you may want to use. I've also used the sweeteners in the chili itself. And these are the fruit nectars. That's a little bit more of the Mexican influence on it, where you have a little bit sweeter chili on it. And I'll use either like a guava paste or, as you can see, the Jumex type of nectars that you'll find in the grocery stores.
Right.
You can use those instead of water, and it gives a very subtle fruity taste to it. Whether it's pear or apricot or guava, you can experiment yourself and make some suggestions within the recipes themselves. But it's ultimately your own eating experience that I'm trying to put forth in this book to make your recipe rather than somebody else's. That's why I kind of call it an eating book rather than a recipe book.
An eating book. It's called Red or Green Chili Bible, Love at First Bite. Now, Marcia Keegan has been sitting with us quietly. She is a very distinguished and accomplished photographer. Now, Marcia, you will be at DeVargas Mall at the Blessings Gallery, which is near, let's see, Office Depot at the DeVargas Mall. Signing books, you have been one of the few photographers, or maybe the only photographer, to photograph on all the Indian pueblos in the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
So tell us what you're working on now.
Well, I just discovered the latest printing technique, which a lot of the young people are using, and it's on metal. And it's quite exciting. It has 100 years archival. And the ones that I have at DeVargas this Saturday, they're ready to just hang up on your wall. And they're quite strong in colors. And I, throughout my career, have done all the different kinds of printing, dye transfer, Cibachrome, regular prints.
Things, some of these really are no longer done.
Exactly. So this new process, which is archival, and it's on metal, is quite exciting. And I'm offering these at a price that I usually haven't ever done, because you don't need a frame, and you don't need a mat and glass. So it's just ready to hang up. And then also, we have arranged for a sort of a slide presentation that people can see different images from my different books, and they can order what picture they want, and I can do it for them and have it within 2 weeks.
So some of the books you've done are called Pueblo People, Enduring Culture, New Mexico, Ancient Wisdom, Living Traditions, and the Southwest Indian Cookbook. So I guess cooking is a theme for you as well?
Well, I'm not a cook. Harmon is the big cook. But I got these recipes from the Pueblo women, and they're extraordinary. And at the time that I did it, because it originally came out, I think, in the early 70s with another publisher, and it is these wonderful recipes that they gave me. So I basically give them credit, not me.
How did you, Marcia, come to get involved in photographing so many Native people and also Tibetan people? That's really been your life's work.
Both the Pueblos and Navajos, as well as the Tibetans, are friends of mine. And I'm originally was born in Oklahoma. And I came to the University of New Mexico and met a lot of friends. So these are basically friends through the years that I have photographed. And Pueblo People is basically, even though it's a chapter on each Pueblo, 19 Pueblos, I have the first and last name of every person. And it's just sort of an autobiography of my friends.
It's interesting because you really have a kind of access that most, at least non-Native people, we really might not have walking onto a Pueblo just because of these relationships that you formed over decades.
Yes, and they don't think of me necessarily as a photographer. They think of me as a friend to call upon if they need pictures of a wedding or a baptism. And they know that I won't publish a picture that isn't appropriate.
So you, Marcia Keegan, and you, Harmon Houghton, will be at the DeVargas Mall Blessing Store this Saturday from 2 to 5, talking about Red or Green Chili Bible, showing photographs, showing slides, and will there be any chili on hand?
No, we're not going to do any tasting, but I'll definitely be able to answer any questions anybody has on the technique. We have over 250 recipes in the book that's about 400 pages long, and we go quite a bit in detail into developing the essential recipes and then progressing them into the enchiladas and into the red chilies and almost any ingredient that you can think of.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Charlotte.